It is time to hear live on the telephone from R.W. Estella. Good morning, R.W.
Hey, good morning, Allison. The heart turns to travel, writes Ezra Pound in his translation of the Anglo-Saxon poem, The Seafarer. And so it was that this year my girlfriend and I decided to spend Thanksgiving with my parents in Denver, since they're in their mid-80s now, and we had not spent a Thanksgiving with them in several years. Of course, our window of opportunity was a narrow one, limited to 3 days, including our trip out and back, so that meant we would have to fly. I abhor the way commercial airlines are run, but my girlfriend and I would have to cope if we were to accomplish our goal of seeing my folks for Thanksgiving. Just in case she got lost along the way, my girlfriend brought along her new Maparium pen from the Mary Baker Eddy Library in Boston, where she had been on a University of Maine junket a few days before. The upper half of the pen has a dioramic world map with a couple of cutout shapes of people floating along in a solution from region to region. One advantage of flying west far enough is the forgiveness of time zones. From the East Coast to the Rockies, for example, the traveler changes time zones twice for a gain of 2 hours. Take off early enough in the morning in Maine, and touchdown in Colorado might occur that same morning, as it did in our case slightly before noon on Wednesday, Mountain Standard Time. Still, we would have less than 48 hours before boarding an airplane on Friday to return to Bangor. That really wasn't much time, so we rented a car to help move us around the gigantic metropolitan area of Denver, which had grown exponentially since my days there as a child, when perhaps 500,000 people inhabited the entire state of Colorado. Now the greater Denver area alone had near 3 million. Along with visiting some friends I hadn't seen in decades and the wonderful time we spent with my parents came the sorts of unexpected encounters that make travel memorable. Wednesday evening, after bidding goodnight to my parents at their place, my girlfriend and I stopped at a local 7-Eleven to pick up a few things to have for breakfast the next morning. Our bill there at the 7-Eleven had come to exactly $7.11, and once outside, I was accosted by a large, burly guy who was holding two really big German shepherds by their leashes. He asked me whether I would mind holding his dogs while he went into the store to buy some cigarettes. Introducing the two dogs, who seemed the size of two small ponies, he said, "This is Klaus, and this is Santa." "Oh," I replied, and slowly grabbed the two heavy leather leads. "Thanks," he said, and dashed into the store. A moment later, he returned, took the dog's lead from me, said, "Thanks a million, man. I know it was sort of a strange request," and walked on down the street with Santa and Klaus. Just as interesting was an encounter late on Thanksgiving afternoon. We'd had dinner early with my folks and then taken them on a drive through a local park, after which they had an appetite again and wanted to stop at a nearby village and restaurant, where a charming young lady from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, worked. Her name is Tara, and she's been in the Denver area for 2 years, and she spent the next 10 minutes vicariously revisiting her hometown by telling us about it. Survival of the fittest was the word when it came to traveling back to Bangor. The airlines make sure that everybody needs to stay fit in order to keep up with their services. Stay tuned to future editions of A Word in Edgewise to hear all about that kind of thing. From Orono, Maine, have a great day.